This is Game On. With your host, Seat Williams.
Game On!
Three o'clock, standing tall, feeling good as we move along on this Wednesday. Hump day, folk, huh? Plenty of food in the basket, on the table, in your belly. Yeah. Seat Williams, Ari's got the wheels of steel as we do our thing here on Game On NBA and NBC 920 Sports, The Game. Plenty to get to today. Andy Isco, we moved him around. Normally, Andy will come on at 10 after, maybe 30 after. We're doing him at 35. Of course, dope, lighters up. Yeah, we're going to pass it around the room probably about a quarter after today. But boy, thought I had some money. Thought I was going to have some extra paper in my pocket last night when I took the Twins plus 230. Got them at 230, man, over at the Palms. And they got the three runs in the first inning. First man up, hits a home run. I'm thinking, yeah, this is me. I'm going to get paid. All the people out there that had the dog. And I'm thinking to myself, after the first inning, because the crowd was going crazy, the energy was sapped out of Yankee Stadium. Right away, it's 3-0, top of the first. The Twins have been doing this since August 3rd, right? Since All-Star Game, they've been the most productive offensive team in baseball. Home runs, runs produced. And then the Yankees said, you know what? Not have been here. It's a situation where you're up in Yankee Stadium, buddy, with the pinstripes. They start cranking out home runs. And then I thought, okay, it's going to be a home run fest. And then all of a sudden, they summon in the man who makes all the decisions, who decides exactly what's going to happen in your life if you did something to him. Here he is.
Here comes the judge. Here comes the judge. Everybody knows that he is the judge.
Swung on and lined in deep left field. It is high. It is far. It is gone. Aaron Judge hit a line drive. Home run to left. A judgy in glass. All rise. Here comes the judge. Another judgment day. Aaron Judge hits a two-run home run to left. An absolute bullet into the seats over the auxiliary scoreboard. And the Yankees take a 7-4 lead.
Eyes.
Damn it.
Eyes your next-door neighbor.
Take my money, damn it. And they did. Oh, man, of course, the Yankees Radio Network. Yeah, it's funny. You make fun when you lose your money.
You really thought. You really thought you were going to get paid?
Well, look, it's 2.25, right? Todd Holt told me he had a little action on it. Of course, he's the COO over there.
Matt.
At all the, excuse me. I call him Todd. Matt. Yeah, here's the deal. You put your money out there, and you can't be scared. In the end, I'm thinking, did I really bet against the Yankees and they're playing at home? Yeah, I bet against the Yankees and they're playing at home, and they took my money. I'm not afraid again, though. I'm not going to bet the game coming up tonight. Andy Isco is going to jump all over that. The Rockies and the Diamondbacks. This game right here jumps off on our station here following the show as well. And then we'll get into that. Some of the other games. Got a college football game coming up. And, of course, Lighters Up Dope will be coming up. Excuse me. Now, we have a live guest in studio. He's been in the company for years. Okay. And he comes on the Comp Morning Show. Brittany, Sparks, Craig. He is Steve-O, or Steven, the cleaning guy on this show. What's up, brother?
Why am I here?
You tell us why, because you got a big-ass trip coming up in 2 weeks, and I haven't heard this before. You're going all the way back to West Virginia.
Uh-huh.
And there's a female back there that attracted you. I don't know anyone else in the company. I've been in the company for a quarter of a century. I don't know anyone in the company that has... that is in a situation like yours where you're traveling across country, maybe to score.
Everyone's probably betting on me to score. I'm not optimistic. That's not my plan overall. I'm going to see her and get to know each other better and, I don't know, have fun and
okay.
Stuff.
All right, so you're on the morning show. Wait, before we get to that, we had a segment a while back. This was back on the other station on Fox. Where you went to the black room?
Yeah.
I mean, there's a bunch of... I mean, no bars hold stuff that goes on in the black room, buddy. And they knew you. You're in the black room, and they hey, Steve, what's that? Wait, no, what was your name?
Steven the Clean Guy.
No, your name when you're in the black room. You got a different name.
They never found out.
You go with an alias.
No.
What goes on in that black room, buddy?
It's just a store, a fetish store.
Oh, so
sells various German fetish items. I think Greg, the producer on BS in the Morning, he wore like a knight helmet and like a butcher's apron or something.
So what type of artifacts or fun things do you get from that store?
The only things I've gotten from them is just a rubber suit. So, kind of think like a diving suit, if you've ever gone diving. Kind of like that.
Wait a minute. What are you going to do with a rubber suit? That takes away all the fun. The simplicity is over.
I can't find a good way to explain to you how fetishes work, Seat, other than different strokes for different folks. Some people just like the feel of the material.
Okay, maybe I've been missing it all my life here. It's Steven the Cleaning Guy on Compton Morning Show. He's got a girl he's going to see in 2 weeks back in West Virginia. Now, how'd you meet her? And is that a what do you call them, a choker that you're wearing?
Yeah, a choker would be
What are you doing with a choker on, dude? You're a dude.
This was something she sent me.
I thought a choker was for the girl to wear.
It could be for either or.
It's 2017.
Is she going to choke you out?
No, she can't choke me out. She's not vicious. She's very loving and kind.
All right, I got to ask you straight off the bat. Steven, are you a freak?
Well, probably by your definition, Seat.
Give me a knuckle bash on that, buddy, because I'm a freak and I'm a pervert. I'm proud of it, buddy. All right, now, how'd you meet the girl? And then tell us about the trip, because you're going back, it's not like you're going to New York or South Beach,
the opposite side of the country.
Dude, you're going to the woods.
Never been to the East Coast either, so it's going to be fun all around.
A little different than the East Coast. We're not talking the beaches or the shore. We're talking the woods, buddy. Okay, how'd you meet the girl?
So I met her. Actually, she found me more or less on a social site for said freaks.
Okay, here we go.
She like favorited something I had written like some time ago at that point, and I'm like, oh, who's this person? And so I checked her out. She wasn't looking for anybody. And I'm like, okay. But I decided to check out her journal entry, which was like the day before I was looking at her profile. And she was just having a bad day that day. She missed her mother, who had passed away a couple years ago. And I knew how that felt because my mother passed away about the same time. So I gave her some nice words, tried to cheer her up. And then we got into a private conversation and got to know each other. And we hit it off.
Now, this is not on the phone. This is... You guys are sending messages.
Yeah, sending direct messages.
So have you spoken to her yet?
Yeah, I've talked to her on the phone. We sent short video clips to each other, both normal and not normal.
Whoa.
You're not getting any more details.
We got some bells over here, man. Come on. Normal and not normal.
Yeah, you're not getting any more details. I don't think the FCC would like that.
Okay, but here's a problem. Here's a problem, and I do think this is a problem. There's another female in your life, and this one might get pretty jealous. You got a little pussy cat that may not like you going to see this other woman.
my little cat Sarah, she loves me, but I don't think she'll get too jealous.
What? You come back with the scent of a woman on you from way across in West Virginia?
I've come back with the scent of multiple cats and dogs on me, and she doesn't do anything.
That's a real one right there. You got a good woman at home. Can't get that in a human.
Just wants to be cared for. Greets you at the door every day and purrs and rubs on you. And,
jumps in my arms and just shoves her butt in my face. I don't know why she does that.
Boy, I wish I could have something like that in the flesh. Okay. You rock, Steve-O. All right. Tell us about the trip. Now, by the way, in case you're just tuning in, we're getting back to Dope. It's coming up shortly, but... Steven, the cleaning guy on the Comp Morning Show with Brittany and Sparks, he is going on a trip to see a girl. He's got this choker on that she sent him. They're sending these private photos of one another. I'm going to think pretty dirty photos of each other to each other. Mm. All right. Have you had a real girlfriend up to this point in your world?
I've attempted. I've had a couple. I've had a couple in-person attempts to have somebody in my life, and they didn't last too long. Didn't go anywhere.
How old are you now?
33, I think.
So you're 33. So you got plenty of upside.
haven't really been with a girl in that way that you really want to call that your girl yet.
Yeah.
Okay, but this might be the one.
Yeah, she's, if I had to sum it up in a nutshell, she's pretty much like me, opposite in a couple of other factors, but she's like me in a girl format.
I got to mention this also about Steve. Steve is a hell of an artist, and I've been telling you this for years. We've been a company together for years. I haven't seen anybody that can draw like you can draw, and you're wasting that skill set. You need to find someone. If someone is out there that can help this young man, Steven, the cleaning guy on the Comp Morning Show, with his career as an artist, I'm not joking.
He's not joking. I co-signed that all the way.
Funny you mention art. She also does art too. She does tattoo art actually, and she.
Don't tell me you're gonna do it.
No, I'm not gonna get a
all right,
tattoo.
What if you got propositioned? Hey,
on the show, they're gonna try to make you do this.
No, what if you got propositioned by her, and you're back there, and she's like, "Hey, listen, the menu's kind of open, but let me ink you up, Steve. Where you going, bud?
Nah." Unfortunately, I don't have a thing for tattoos, but I don't discriminate against them either.
I agree. Same here. You got any ink on you?
I don't. I'm the same. I don't have any, but yeah, I'm open to it. Okay. It's against my religion, but I don't really at this point.
I got you.
You know.
All right, Steven, now tell me, what's the plan? You get there, when do you fly in? What's on the schedule? How long are you there? And where are you staying?
As far as I know, I'll be Greg's going to be shadowing me probably for.
That's the show producer on Comp, right?
Yeah, that's the show producer on Comp. Greg with a G. he's going to be there for recording amusement and.
He's going with you.
And security purposes.
What kind of stuff are you guys into on that morning show?
You know, got one girl. They got a Wheel of Punishment seat. There are things.
Wait a minute. You're going for the girl, and he's going with you? I mean, what, is he going to videotape everything you guys are doing? Is this like a reality show?
I don't know. It kind of looks like that.
Oh, no. You can't have it. Come on. You got to at least have.
I've told him explicitly, you are not going to embarrass either one of us.
So, okay, that is security, though.
Yeah, the security part is in case, you know, things actually are not as – if things go topside.
Right.
Like, not good.
Right.
Which I don't think they will. Like, she's been honest with me. She hasn't done anything that would give red flags that she's catfishing or whatever it is.
But you never know, dude.
If anything, she's the one who's been giving me more than I have. She gave me the choke. She sent me the choker. She actually bought me a pizza one day.
You mean ordered over the phone or over line?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. She's softening you up, dude. She went right for the belly, dude. You love to eat like me. All right, let me give you a big brother tip. A couple of tips.
Mm-hmm.
What town are you going to?
We're going to Parkersburg.
Okay. Find out in Parkersburg who the mayor is, who a few city councilmen are, and this is the reason. You want to be able to name drop. Here's what could happen. All right, play the role. You're walking. Let's say Greg is back at the room. You're just walking. You're walking around, just getting some fresh air, trying to see the city.
Mm-hmm.
And let's say a brown van pulls up, unwashed for maybe several weeks, like my car. All right, in the van, they got curtains, and in the curtains, you can hear this music in the background of the car. Okay, you hear this music.
Oh no!
You hear this. Okay.
Mhm.
And the dude pulls up and says, "How you doing? Myself." In the back, I got Billy Joe Bob, Billy Joe Billy, Cleavis, Billy Joe Barks, and Garth. Are we going to get some drinks? We just got off work. You want to ride?
No.
No. Don't just say no. Just say, no, I'm good. I'm here. I'm the mayor's nephew.
Oh, no.
They're coming to get me. See, and then they're going to say bye. They're going to leave. Protection. Name drop. Come on, Steve. You gotta know how to handle these criminals back in the woods.
But see, there's one possible problem with that.
What's that?
What if they don't like the mayor?
Then they'll shoot you right on the spot, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you got your choice. You can either be shot.
Great advice.
Or dragged into the woods and left for dead when they're done.
Pete Williams, ladies and gentlemen. Some big brother advice.
No, you got a name drop. You're safer if you name drop because they don't like the mayor. Yeah, the gun laws there are a little more lenient than here. But
But you got to be safe. You got to at least associate like you're not a stranger. If you appear to be visiting, you got no shot. I mean, from Garth to Cletus to Billy Joe Bob, Bob Joe Billy, and all these other dudes, they jumping out the van and they taking you, dude. You got to be careful here. Steven, we love you here at Lotus. Come on.
I'm a grown man, Dad. Come on.
But you're not strapped. You're not going to have any weapons. All you got is a choker. And by the time you get that off, it's over. So you got to have something, right? You got to protect yourself. At least have something vocally that will help you protect yourself. And that's name drop.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Let the folks know when you're on the air and exactly what else is going on this show.
I'll be going in. They have me in tomorrow about 7:30 or 8 o'clock in the morning, BS in the morning, 92.3 comp. And as far as the trip goes, it'll be on the 14th weekend, and you'll probably hear stuff about that afterwards.
It better not be on the internet.
They got a podcast, so that's technically the internet.
And if it is, it better be good. All right, he'll do the black room too, I'm sure, again. He'll get some fetishes in there.
Yeah, I heard they're going to drag me over there at some point.
The rubber body. What is it called? A rubber body suit?
Rubber suit.
A rubber suit. Yeah. You people. All right, we'll step away. Steven, thanks. Lighters up. Dope is next.
Man, I've been saving for a special occasion.
Looks like a quarter pounder, man. Led Zeppelin.
Hey, be careful with that, man. Is it heavy stuff, man? Will it blow me away?
It's time now for Man, That Show is Dope.
3:20 in the valley. Lighters up. Pass it. Going to take you up to Casper, Wyoming, where they have so many things to do. Now, the Popo man there says a Central Wyoming man was arrested for public intoxication, claimed he had traveled back in time to warn of alien invasion. Okay? Casper police say the man they encountered at about 10:30 Monday night Pacific time claimed he was from the year 2048. TV station up there in Casper reports that the man told police that he wanted to warn the people of Casper that aliens will arrive next year and that they should leave soon, as soon as possible, please. He asked to speak to the president of the town about 170 miles northwest of Cheyenne. The man told police he was only able to take the time to travel because the aliens filled his body with a bunch of alcohol. Okay. Blaming on the alcohol. He also noted that he was supposed to not be transported in the year 2018, so he had to come in this year. All right. I've thrown a few back. You, Ari?
I'm not a big drinker, but
you've thrown a few back before. Whatever it is that you put in your body to relax yourself.
There you go.
I got to tell you, it keeps me grounded, and it gives me a little escapism, but it doesn't take me to Mars. This dude was doing some top-of-the-line, first flight, dope. Okay. Give me a break.
Moonshine. Something. That's that strong. Man. That's that good alcohol. All right. My story is pretty recently. This is Michael Kent. This was a tough one for me. I just want to preface this with this. I'm Jewish. I'm, you know, there's not much else to say about that. I'm not even at this point extremely religious, but, you know, I have my beliefs and I have my pride. And so I'm not a big fan of Nazis, obviously. Who is? But so I'm conflicted about this story, but I think I can go with this, like giving someone another chance. So Michael Kent, he's a former neo-Nazi. He was imprisoned for, I think, almost 20 years. He had a swastika tattooed on his chest for 20 years, at least that much. And his probation officer just happened to be, it's just the system he's in. Her name's Tiffany Whittier. She's a black woman. And she just wanted to do her job. She just did it like she would do anyone else. And she totally changed this guy's outlook. Not just on, you know, the racism part. I guess she just really... She made him more positive. Here's actually a little clip from the interview that they did, and it pretty much tells it all.
I got my caseload transferred to a black woman. She just marched up to my house. If it wasn't for her, I probably would have been deep back into it.
You feel like she became much more than a probation officer?
Yes, she's much more than that. I would look at her as family. She gave me a chance, and it opened my eyes.
You two are unlikely friends.
Yes. Yes. I had a German war flag. She says, you need to take that crap down and start putting up more positive stuff. Put up smiley faces. So when you wake up, you see positive instead of hate.
That said it for me right there. That kind of made me feel like, all right, you know what? I can get down with that. And they were able to black it out, and it's just, you know, it's just like a black regular star now. So that to me, I don't know if I can call Michael Kent dope, but the whole situation is dope. I can appreciate that.
Yeah, what's dope is what the woman, the counselor, did to help him.
Yeah.
And you got to keep this in mind. If you're a gangbanger, or if you're in some type of a group, a hate group or whatever the case, and you hurt people, for the rest of your life and the rest of your children's life, you're going to be looking over your back. Yeah. Because there's going to be somebody looking to get even. You could be changed a preacher. It doesn't matter where you are, what you're doing in your life 30 years from now. If you killed somebody's father, uncle, kid, brother, whatever the case may be, you're still looking over your shoulder. Okay, it's good for the change, but in the beginning, just like don't send, don't pull the trigger.
Yeah.
That's a good one, though. All right, I guess I'm looking to drink tonight, huh? Looking forward to it, because I'm taking you now to Key Largo, Florida. Excuse me, authorities there say a man unclothed, drunk.
Okay? Another one.
Yeah. He wanted to know if his 45 caliber gun and shotgun worked. So he fired them into the air. Neighbors heard the gunfire, and that was yesterday, and called the Monroe County Sheriff's Office. Okay? Becky Heron said in a news release that deputies found this guy's 66 years old. Name is Roger Sheed, inside his home. They go in. The dude had no clothes on. He was intoxicated. No, he's in his house, okay? But he shot the gun. So deputies saw him cleaning his gun, so they took the gun, arrested him. Listen, you could do whatever you want to do, but if you fire the gun, doesn't matter. There's going to be somebody on your porch, and they're going to have a badge, and you didn't shoot at anybody, but you're going to jail. Now, this dude right here, unlike the other guy who did some pretty good dope, this guy is a dope.
Yeah. You said it. That's, well, alcohol. You know, you asked me if I drank earlier. Honestly, I'm not putting my thoughts that far out there. You know, everyone's welcome to drink, but I just, there's so much stuff. So many things that bother me about people when they drink. And that's an extreme case, but yeah. All right, on to something a little more positive. This is actually just a couple months ago, this story. It kept popping up, and then I wasn't even going to bring it up, but I thought, because of the content, but it's actually pretty cool. 18-year-old Tyler returned a wallet he found with $1,500 of cash inside to a local residence in California. I mean, that's kind of weird. Who really has that kind of cash on their thing? But there is a video, and it shows him basically walking up to the security camera of the house. Apparently, they were inside the house, the owners, but they saw a stranger. They believed a stranger walking, so they didn't answer the door at first. So he walks up to the camera and kind of, you know, shows them his the wallet and everything. And then when no one came out, he dropped it off by the carpet. And I guess she came out, got it, later tracked him down, and was extremely thankful, and gave him $150 for his trouble, which is pretty cool.
Nice tip.
Yeah, he's a student, you know, so, you know, he could have used that money, no doubt. So I thought that was cool. He's dope for that. And he's 18, people, so not everybody that's under whatever age that you classify as a millennial is, you know, there are some good ones out there, too.
That's dope. Rather have the $1,500, but I'll take a buck.
Agreed.
50. You know, yeah. And they saw him on surveillance with the wallet. So once you on camera, you got to leave it, whether you're tempted to or not.
Right, that's
at
it.
That point. You got one more?
I do, yeah. You want me to?
Yeah, you know, you seem to be hitting it pretty well.
Oh, sure, why not?
I mean, you're lighting it and holding it.
Right.
So you can close it.
Nothing wrong with that.
Oh!
Let me get my theme music on here, though. Special for this. So this is actually yesterday, I believe. Wingstop and Wendy's got into it on Twitter. I love this. I think it's so cool and creative. And I
I like when people adapt. Like, these are old companies, especially Wendy's. They've been around forever. Social networking is new still relatively as far as using it for marketing purposes and really, like, touching your fan base and really getting there. So Wingstop posted a picture next to it, right next to a GameStop. Like, there's a Wingstop that's adjacent to a GameStop. And they said, and this is actually the beat, because I have to rap. They said, GameStop, Wingstop. Copped a new game for the Xbox. Saucing and tossing our wings in a pot pot. Wow, I threw it. We got that original Hot Hot. It's basically a song. You're probably not familiar with it, but maybe the listeners are. It's a Bad and Bougie by Migos. So someone chimed in, Wendy's, step your game up. Wendy's came back and said, sit down, be humble, which is a Kendrick Lamar song that was just a hit just now. And then it goes on and on. We'll be here all day, but they basically go back and forth in a friendly, engage in a friendly rap battle almost over Twitter. It's hilarious. I love hip hop and you know, I am into this kind of culture. So this kind of thing to me is so dope. And it just, I can't even read them all because there's so many, but they're going on and on back.
Where's it located?
This is on Twitter.
Okay, I thought it was a site. So it's just Twitter, just people just engaging.
No, this is literally Wingstop social site versus Wendy's. Then they said, been there, done that, bring something fresh, not frozen. Wendy says, fresh, never frozen, $6.99. Trying to cop that mixtape, better get in line.
And I get
on
it.
And on and on.
I get
on.
It.
Yeah, so I know you want me to rap on the show.
No,
so
that's pretty good. I will let you work on the spitting it out a little bit, but at least you got it down. All right, one final one for me. This dude over in Rio de Janeiro. He gets to this place. I guess he's going in to rob it. He doesn't know it's a place where they practice martial arts. So the lady's trying to detain him at the front. No, no, don't. You can't go in. So he jumps over the turnstile and runs into the room to try to take what he can. And just as he runs in, he comes running out and they come chasing him. Yes. And he jumps back over the turnstile. And I don't know if they got him or not. But yeah, you can see the video.
Oh, I need to see that video. Because I'm envisioning, like, you know, Mortal Kombat. Like,
he goes in there. Yeah. Come on. Whoa. And then you got to get out of there. All right. And so do we. Lighters down in the dope. And Andy Esco's next.
Now back to Game On, Seat Williams.
.333 in the Valley, moving along here on this hump day. Seat Williams still good with Ari. As we move along, going to get Andy Esco up right now as we move on to checking the odds on the baseball game coming up tonight, tomorrow night, and through the weekend, as well as a one college football game on the slate tonight. Andy Esco, of course, is a guy we have on weekly. Scott Spreitzer, we'll have him in here tomorrow from Wager Talk. And then, of course, George Cole from Aliante and Canary North. He's our guy on Friday. So we keep it loaded. We do our best to make it work, keeping you filled with information. We do our best to entertain. And by the way, I still got that Tyson show, Tyson Undisputed Truth 2, to give away, which we'll do perhaps on Friday. All right. Going out to the phone lines right now, our good friend from Logical Approach, Andy Esco. Andy, how are you, brother?
Seed, I'm doing fine. How about yourself?
Doing great, doing great. Before we get to the baseball, because we'll jump on the baseball and move through it, because we had last night to recap, go through today, tomorrow, and on through the weekend. There is a college football game on tonight, and that college football game is Arkansas State and Georgia Southern. Can you update us on what you have there?
Last I saw, about an hour or so ago, the line at Arkansas State, a road favorite of 8.5 or 9, depending upon the sportsbook. The game opened 7, and at 7, it was reasonable to consider laying the points with Arkansas State. They are the better team. Georgia Southern appears down considerably this year, but I decided against making a play on the game, either the side or the total, as a result of that line moving up, and who knows if we'll hit 9 or higher than 9, rather, before kickoff. So decided to pass on that one. It's a Sun Belt game, but it's nice to know that we're at the time of the year where we're starting to get Tuesday and Wednesday games. I think the Tuesday games start either next week or the week after, and Wednesday games are already here.
You know, I noticed I'm looking at Vegas Insider now. They have a 9.5 here in a couple of spots here, the total 55 in that game. And you mentioned the road team, the favorite there. Georgia Southern at one time was pretty prominent in that conference.
Yeah, they were. In fact, when they first moved up to the FBS level, I played them a number of times the first year. In fact, if I recall correctly, I think their first game that they played, where they were getting like 20-something points at North Carolina State, and I loved Georgia Southern in that game, and I think they nearly pulled the upset. I want to say it was a 2- or 3-point loss in that one, but the program has declined over the past couple of years. If I did anything tonight, and I'm still considering it, I'm seeing a total here as low as 54.5. I might look over the total because Arkansas State can put some points on the board, but they could also allow some points as well. So I might look over the total in that one. Might have considered, as I say, laying the 7. In fact, as you speak, I'm seeing a lot of the 9.5 starting to show up. So it does appear to be that way. I would imagine for those who laid 7, perhaps, or even 7.5, if the line goes up to 10, the wise guys will get involved and take the plus 10, as will those who laid the 7.
And that's pretty difficult when you're a program like Georgia Southern and you move up to play at the highest level. Sure, you may be okay. There'll be a lot of emotion. Like you said, that first year, they were very competitive. But then reality sets in. The other schools in that division that you jumped into are already greased and going. And
well, part of it also is when you move up, all of a sudden, the major programs like the Auburns and the Georgias start recruiting the kids that you're recruiting, because now all of a sudden you're on that level. You might ultimately schedule them a little bit, whereas in years past, perhaps those schools didn't aggressively go after those players that ultimately go to Georgia Southern. So I think they lose out a little bit in the recruiting situations, as well as some of the other teams, like Georgia State is a recent addition to the FBS level as well. So I think Georgia Southern, which often would get a lot of those players who might not quite be good enough to make it to Georgia or an Auburn or an Alabama or some of the other FBS programs, now all of a sudden they're not getting as many because there are more options for those players at the FBS level.
That's a very good point. Andy Esco, Logical Approach here on the show. Game on. Let's turn our page and attention to baseball. What happened last night was fun to watch. You know, generally speaking, you know this, Andy, from watching baseball, the pennant chase October, the Fall Classic. When we get to this time of year, usually it's about just great, outstanding defense, some really good pitching, managing, not that much raking like it was last night. That first inning, all, you know, because I had the Twins, I'm up 3-0. I'm like, let's see, what am I going to do? Let's see, baby gets new shoes. Yeah, no, pump the brakes, buddy. They're playing the Yankees in New York, right?
Well, you know, it's easy to say now, and I didn't get a chance to get involved because I was actually driving around a little bit last night when the game was getting underway. But I would have thought, and I don't know what the price was, but after Minnesota scored 3 runs in the top of the first and then ultimately got a couple of more guys on, and Girardi, to his credit, did the right thing, made the pitching change, wondering what the in-line price would have been to see if that game was closer to a pick'em, maybe even make Minnesota a slight favorite, though I doubt it. Yankees were probably still solid favorites. I don't have the information on that in front of me. As I say, I was driving around. But that would have been a very good time to make a bet on the Yankees, where you didn't have to lay the 240 or the 250 that you did prior to the start of the game.
It went up to 270, I believe, because I got plus 230, Andy.
Yeah, I think it was at that. I think it had gone up, come down a little bit, but basically in that range of 250 or so for much of the 48 hours preceding the game. And yeah, I'm not surprised that it went up. I'm sure a lot of people also laid about $1.35 or so minus the run and a half, which of course didn't look good in the top of the first inning, but did look good in the middle frames of the game. And of course, I think after about 4 innings, it was 7-4, and then they only scored 1 run the rest of the way. So it was a very unusual contest from that perspective. I don't know if we'll see the same thing tonight, but we might see similar fireworks at the plate.
Yeah, the Yankees bats, basically because the crowd was shut down. So the Yankees came back and got their side of the ledger with some runs. And then their bullpen just shut down their opponents. Minnesota couldn't do anything from that point. So now they move on to Cleveland, to me, the best team in baseball right now. As far as tonight, Colorado, Arizona. A good matchup here. If I'm not mistaken, I believe Arizona has had their way with the Rockies so far this year.
I don't. I wrote about it. I don't have the numbers in front of me because I did not play tonight's game. I considered playing. Actually, the one play I did consider was the under 4.5 for the first five innings. You've got John Gray going up against Zach Greinke. Greinke, of course, we know his edge inexperience over the years. John Gray, a lot of potential. Actually started to show a lot of it. He pitched very well on the road this year, especially over the second half of the season. And actually, one earlier in the season and one just a few weeks ago, two very, very good starts at Arizona this season. I think in both starts, I think he went six innings in one, seven in the other, allowed two earned runs. And in those two starts in Arizona, he struck out 20 batters, 10 in each game, walked only one, and I think allowed about 14 hits, if I recall, total in the 13 innings that he pitched. So he comes into this game in good form, should have some confidence going into Arizona. Of course, Greinke deserves to be the favorite given his experience and given the explosiveness of the Arizona offense, notwithstanding the recent slump of Paul Goldschmidt, but certainly J.D. Martinez coming over from Detroit around the trade deadline has made a huge impact. He's not going to win it because he only played in the National League for basically half a season, but otherwise he'd be in serious contention for an MVP award. Keep in mind, Arizona, despite the fact that they lost the division to the Dodgers, still won over 90 games this year, and that's a very impressive recommendation for a team that is getting to host a wild card game. Colorado, I'm not going to say they backed into the wild card, the second wild card, because they were basically in control of that second wild card for much of the season once Arizona was able to distance themselves from the Rockies, which I think was in mid to late August when they started to open up a serious gap. Colorado did, however, have to hold off a challenge from Milwaukee and St. Louis to ultimately get the wild card nicely. I can certainly make a case for taking the Rockies tonight at that nice plus price. Looking at the current lines out there, Arizona, as I mentioned, a solid favorite, about 155 to 160 right now. It had been actually opened around 170, so there has been some support for Colorado. You can get them at about plus 140 to plus 150, depending upon where you happen to shop. And Colorado, again, because Gray gives them a chance, and wild card teams, since that format was introduced about 5 years ago, wild cards have had have had success in the wild card round. And so with Minnesota going out on the road last night, if they're to avoid an 0-2 sweep for the road teams, this would be the night for Colorado. Although, I would actually, and I want to see what the price is, I would actually take a look at Arizona if they get in that series against the Dodgers because of the way they've played them so tough over the latter part of the year. Don't know what the price will be, but hopefully you'll be able to get a nice price. I don't know that I would take Colorado on the series price against the Dodgers if they happen to advance, because I think Arizona, especially their rotation, is better. In fact, Colorado right now, John Gray is the only pitcher that I would consider backing. If anyone else had been going for Colorado tonight, probably would have considered Arizona minus the run and a half.
Yeah, Gray and Greinke, you're talking about two big-name pitchers battling. You know, the thing is, there are a number of people that are complaining about the one and done in the wild card. Well, there was so much excitement down the stretch. You mentioned Milwaukee. They had to fight off St. Louis to get in there, Colorado. And Arizona, of course, they had a grip early. And Colorado did, too, but then they went on a couple of long losing streaks. So, no, I like the one and done because it gives more teams and more fan bases a chance to have a chance of rooting to be playing this time of year, as opposed to having the traditional four teams out in each league.
Yeah, I mean, I'm warming up a little bit more. I mean, in effect, it's a one-game Game 7 situation. I think what turns me off a little bit about it is the fact that, and 2 years ago was the exception where you had the Cubs and the Pirates, 1-197, 1-198, and lost out to the Cardinals in the NL Central. You had two really good wild cards. Here, you've got an Arizona team that won 93 regular season games. Colorado, not bad, 87-75, but that doesn't really, I think, merit a trip to the playoffs. So Arizona gets penalized, and people say, well, win your division. Sure, you'd like to win your division. The Dodgers won 104 games. In fact, if you go back, Seed, and I know you do, I think it was in the early 1990s, what ultimately ended up resulting in the split of the two leagues into three divisions each and the introduction of a fourth playoff team, a wild card, I want to say it was a year when Atlanta and San Francisco, I think both won like 100 games, And I think it was Atlanta ended up winning the division, and San Francisco had won like 98 or 100 games and got left home. And the winners of the in the Eastern Division, I believe, had been much less than that. So it seemed that there was a call for some fairness. And if I recall correctly, it could have been over 25 years ago, that they ultimately introduced the three divisions and the wild card. So I think initially it was to give a wild card team who happened to play in a division that had a runaway winner but still played outstanding baseball, such as Arizona has this year, comparison to the other teams, an opportunity to get in the playoffs. Now I think this introduction of the second wild card, while it does add drama, I think it's also done for the money as opposed to being fair, because I could understand why you don't want to have a best of five. I could see a best of three, and maybe what you do is you give the home team, in this case Arizona, for example, you make them play on back-to-back-to-back days. You give them maybe the first two games at home and then the third game in Colorado to give them an advantage, and you know they can overcome one bad game. The only problem with that is you'd have to push the playoffs back, and that might not be fair to the teams who have the buys.
Yeah, good point. You'd be rocking it. Andy Esko, Logical Approach, getting it on Game On here on NBC Sports 920 The Game. Andy, one final look at tomorrow. You've got two heavy hitters, Boston and Houston. Houston, we know they can rake. They've got two really good starters in this one, and Verlander going for the Astros, and also Chris Sale. To me, you're Randy Johnson of today, and to me, the best pitcher in baseball.
I'll tell you what, Justin Verlander has had an outstanding season. He started off slowly back with Detroit, and then towards the time when he was about to get traded, and then since he's gone to Houston, he's been absolutely brilliant. Astros, of course, leading the American League for much of the year as far as the wins go. Cleveland caught him, and ultimately Cleveland won 102. Houston won 101, so 101-61. That's 40 games over 500. Boston also sluggish for about the first 60% of the season. Came on nicely, finished with 93 wins. Understandably, Houston is the favorite, and I like Houston in the series. We saw this line open up, for example, at the Westgate with Verlander minus 120 over Chris Sale. It's been bet up to minus 130 in some places, usually mostly between 125 and 130 in most books. You're getting a chance to get Chris Sale at a very attractive price, but Sale struggled a bit down the stretch, gave up a lot of home run balls in some September series. You wonder if maybe accumulating all those strikeouts early in the year didn't wear his arm out a little bit. So I can understand the initial movement on Houston and Verlander. I don't know what I'm going to do with this game, because I'd like to take Boston and Sale, but I have to like the way Verlander is pitching, and Houston, which had its own slump in August and into September, has played very well. I would think that if this line stays under 130, maybe even goes back a bit to 125, I might take a look at laying the price with Houston. Not sure I want to play under 7, because even though these games will be micromanaged, in fact, I would put it this way. If you like the under 7, you probably like Houston a bit more than Boston, because Sale has been a little bit vulnerable. If you like the over in this game, then you might like Boston, because you might expect that they're going to get to Verlander a little bit, and Houston's going to also have some success against Sale. So haven't decided if I'm doing anything in this game. Right now I'm considering Boston, but at 125 or less, if that line comes down, I might go back the other way. And when you hear me talking like this, it tells you I really probably won't have a play.
Andy, I got to tell you, this right here is the supreme pitching matchup of the playoffs. So Chris Sale, Justin Verlander tomorrow, Houston at home to Boston. That should be a lot of fun.
I'll tell you the one I'm looking forward to if Boston and Cleveland advance in their series, and that would be Corey Kluber, who I think will win the Cy Young Award against Chris Sale of Boston, who said, he said that outstanding. Sale was the leader in the clubhouse for much of the season. I think Kluber has overtaken him, and I would. You know, a lot of people are saying Luis Severino of the Yankees was the third best pitcher in the American League. I'm not going to dispute that, other than I will add Verlander into the conversation.
Let the folks know where they can find you, Andy.
TheLogicalApproach.com. I've now got the weekly matchups for the NFL and college football. That stat's up there. Those spreadsheets are up there, along with the pitching matchups, which will be updated after tonight's game for the first round matchups for the two divisional series in each league that get underway in the National League tomorrow, the American League on Friday. And I've got some thoughts on the baseball playoffs, as well as my weekly NFL column in the pages of Gaming Today, available at most sports books throughout. throughout the city, generally hitting around the mid-morning on Tuesdays.
Appreciate your work always, Andy.
Thanks, Seed. Have a great weekend, and good luck in all your plays.
You got it. Andy Esco, Logical Approach. Boy, we go back so long ago, Andy and I. We're going to step away. We'll come back with that final go-round after this.
Now back to Game On, Seat Williams.
Final go-round brought to you by Reliable Banner at ReliableBanner.com. Baseball tonight, folk. Nothing like it, huh? You got the football game, Arkansas State, Georgia Southern. Arkansas State now about 9.5 to total 55. And then, boy, just the Rockies and the D-backs. Gray, Granky. D-backs about a buck 55, 8.5 your total there. Just a lot of good stuff going on today. That game tomorrow, though, is set to go. And then, of course, tomorrow night, you've got your matchup with New England Patriots in Tampa. All right, that'll wrap it up as we get out of here. I want to say thanks to Andy Esco, Logical Approach, also Ari, my producer, and to Steve-O. Man, I got to get me a body rubber suit, roll around on the ground, and see what it makes me feel like. I'm Seat Williams, folk. 10 Stuck Low Guards up high. We'll see you on the radio. More of the show tomorrow. NBC Sports Radio, Game On. Game over. Yeah.